And then I was on LinkedIn and I was on Instagram and I started meeting people like yourself. And I was like, oh, there are actually people out there who just do this for a living and they're making money.
Loads of people.
And they're actually quite nice. And you can actually have a conversation with them. So yeah, the thing that surprised me most was the community that's out there.
Hello and welcome to From Overlooked to Fully Booked. I'm your host, Nikki Hutchison, and I'm delighted you're here. Today, I'm also delighted to welcome Lydia Hockridge to the show. Lydia and I connected online, then met in person at Theo Pafitis's Small Business Sunday meetup last year, and she then became a one-to-one client earlier this year. Lydia is the perfect example of the type of client I love to work with. Driven, determined, action-taking. But there are more secrets to Lydia's success, and we're going to dive into them together today. So Lydia, you are pretty unusual in that you launched your business in January and you were fully booked by June. Can you walk us through what that actually looked like behind the scenes and tell us a bit about your business at the same time, please?
Sure. The one thing that you need to know about my business is that I am a fractional COO. So I essentially help businesses from solo entrepreneurs up to kind of 20, 50 person staffs get their shit together, sort out their operations so that they can grow and scale. The journey this year from starting, yeah, has been amazing in that like headline title of like getting to fully booked by June was amazing, of which you were a big part. Thank you.
Thank you.
But there's so much noise, isn't there, online of people being like, 10 figures this or whatever. And you can have those headline moments, but behind the scenes, it's not always like that.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I started in January. It was a long time coming. I had wanted to probably go out on my own since about 2017. So a long time ago.
Wow. Okay.
But for different reasons, I just didn't feel I was ready. You know, the classic imposter syndrome, I need more experience. And probably to some extent I did. But I got to a point last year where I was like, right, it's now or never. Time to go. So I think that's been a big piece in how I've got into Fully Booked and what's driven me, because it was just, I'd waited so long and I was like, right, this has to work. So it wasn't like, oh, let me try this on the side and see what happens. It was a, this is how I make a living now. So I need to make this work.
So you cut all ties. What was your situation when you started in terms of employment?
So I'd been on maternity leave last year. Throughout 2024, I'd been on maternity leave. And as I finished up my job, heading off on maternity leave March last year, I knew I can't come back to this. I'd gotten to a point, I loved my job, I loved my team, I loved what I was doing, but I'd been doing it for so long that I'd got to a point that I was only doing it for the money. And I realized that's no reason to do anything. There was just nothing else. And so I got to a point where I was like, right, I have to do something different by the time I get back from mat leave. I spent the entirety of mat leave terrified. The whole year, 2024, I was just terrified because I knew I wanted to do something different. I knew I wasn't going back, but I had no idea what. And then I started working with some friends, just doing some help for them on the side for free, not really charging them at first. I started to realize that I could do this. Like I realized, oh, actually like how to use a spreadsheet or how to do a process or how to hire someone is actually something that quite a lot of people don't know, even when they have businesses. And that's stuff that I can do easily. So I decided I needed to leave. And so December 24, I spoke to my then boss and handed in my resignation. At the time, I'd listened to a consulting podcast and had heard some advice that I should try and retain my current employer as my first client. So that is what I tried to do. But they were ready to kind of be like, look, you've not been here for a while. If you're going to something else, great, good luck. We wish you well, but no, which is fine. So I was in January completely like, no employer anymore. I had a little bit of like payout from my maternity leave, a bit of like holiday pay and stuff. I really had no income. And the reality that is in January, I didn't make any money. In February, I made £90.
Oof.
So it wasn't until March that I actually started making money. So it took a while. It wasn't like, oh, I'm fully booked in June and actually I've been making money since. I started on zero, but I think that was where I knew I had to make money. I mean, to be fair, I did have some savings. So because I'd been planning through 2024, I had some savings. So my bank account wasn't at zero, but my income from my new business was at zero.
So I did the same as you, actually. I severed all ties and didn't launch my first business until 18 months after I went on maternity leave the second time around. So that was kind of hard, but in some ways, it was the best way to do it because I was used to being skint.
Yeah, I've actually said that to people as well. Because I was on stat maternity, I wasn't making very much anyway, which is why I knew when I went on maternity leave, I've got to do something.
Oh, it was now or never.
Because I knew if I went back, I would just get swept back in and I'd just be like, well, this is fine, this is fine, this is fine. And it would be another 5 years before I'd be like, oh, I really shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Okay, so terrified, you went all in. And what surprised you the most about going out on your own?
Lots of things have surprised me, but I think maybe I've surprised myself and also been surprised at my naivety before as to how much is out there. Like, because I spent the whole of 2024 terrified, I like almost had built myself into this box that there was no one running their own businesses. And this was like this huge thing that no one did. And I was going into this huge change, this huge like endeavor that no one had done before.
And I'm like, come and join us. We're all
here. Well, and exactly. And then I was on LinkedIn and I was on Instagram and I started meeting people like yourself. And I was like, oh, there are actually people out there who just do this for a living and they're making money.
Loads of people.
And they're actually quite nice. And you can actually have a conversation with them. So yeah, the thing that surprised me most was the community that's out there. There's an incredible community of which you are very much a leader in facilitating. But if you're willing to put yourself out there and be open, and I think that's something that's surprised myself. I've been very open to saying yes to anything, having conversations with anyone, having coffees with anyone, just meeting anyone and everyone. And there were some people where I thought, why am I meeting up with you? Like, why are you even talking to me? But they've ended up becoming like lifelong friends or like mentors or like people who I really value in my life now. So yeah, it surprised me how open I've been to just putting myself out there and then just how incredible online communities can be of just loads of people who are just willing to support you and have a chat and help. It's been amazing.
How do you filter out the noise, basically? So what you're saying there about, you know, you've been really open to opportunities, people have asked you to meet up for coffee and you've just gone along with it, or vice versa, you've asked them. That is definitely one school of thought. And that's the one that I subscribe to as well. But then you'll get the other school of thought, which is guard your time fiercely, protect that time. Don't be going for random coffee dates because you just don't know where it's going to lead. How do you filter out what advice? That's just one tiny example of opposing advice that you'll get when you run your own business. How do you filter out what's right for you?
It is definitely difficult. At the beginning of the year, I was downloading every lead magnet. I was like going to everything because I just wanted to learn. And I did get to a point where you take in so much and you meet so many people that all of a sudden you're questioning yourself. So I probably have had to have a few conversations with myself over the course of the year. Probably still need to have them. I do take a step back quite regularly. I have a weekly meeting with myself where I'll take a step back. And sometimes I would put on that meeting as like an issue to discuss with myself, like I'm taking in too much noise. And then I would just remind myself, what's my purpose? What am I doing? Why am I doing it?
Okay, so I know that you are all about getting shit done and systems, and you've just hinted at one of your systems there. So you have a weekly check-in with yourself. You sometimes have a topic that needs discussed with yourself. I love that. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. How do you take those ideas and make sure that you remember to discuss them? Like, what is your system for keeping yourself on track and on target?
Well, it's simple. I have a Trello board. It's a really cleanly managed Trello board. I know some people have a love-hate relationship with Trello, maybe more on the hate side. It doesn't really matter what the platform is, but Trello for me is easy. And I have on there my business plan, like my vision for like 10 years, 5 years. Then I've got my core goals for the next 3 months and the numbers that I need to hit. And then I have a list that's just called issues.
Okay.
And so through the week, whatever comes up, it might just be, you know, a hot topic for me recently has been time, to speak to your earlier question. I am struggling with time and I want to say yes to everything, but I can't say yes to everything. So I'll put something like time on the list. I put it on the list. I'll collect it over the week. Sometimes I'll get to the weekly meeting on a Monday and I'll have a few more things that I'm like, okay, do you know what? This is stressing. It's just a brain dump. I'm just going to brain dump everything that's in my head right now that's stressing me out. I would put it in there and then I sit down and I look at it and I say, okay, what's causing me the most stress? And then I just treat it like a senior leadership meeting would be. And I say, okay, let's diagnose this problem. What's the actual issue? My issue with time is actually that I'm not managing my time and that I have got not clear principles around this boundary and I need to set up this boundary, whatever it is. So I act as like a five-person board and I have all the conversations. But it's giving yourself the space to have that thinking pattern as well.
That is the crucial bit.
That weekly Monday, 30 minutes. It's not long because you're just having it with yourself. You're not getting into a long heated debate with a colleague that you're like, not again. So it's just 30 minutes, but it's having the space to be like, what's causing me an issue this week? And that, I mean, that's really helped me. I think that's a huge reason why I've been successful this year.
Yeah.
Because every week I'm checking in on my goals and I'm holding myself accountable to the things that are getting in the way.
This is like some version of paradise to me. So when you mentioned at the beginning, 10-year goals, are you comfortable sharing any of those? Like your 10-year vision?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of a big, long business plan. I have a one-pager and there's like five different sections. And there's just a section which is 10-year goals. My big 10-year goal is to have a seven-figure agency helping businesses get shit done.
Amazing.
It's simple. I'm really good at getting shit done, but I know that I don't want to build a business which relies on me. So I want to find a way to build an agency or a business of some form where my skill set can be delivered, but not directly through me.
So if anybody's listening to this and thinking, I need a Lydia in my life, but I don't actually know what that might look like. So you're known for getting shit done, but what does that actually mean for your clients? What are you doing with them?
The ideal client for me is a client who has a big goal that they're trying to achieve. So it's like they know they want to launch a different arm of their business, or they know they want to completely remodel their business, or they know they want to bring on a team, or they know they want to maybe remove some of team members. They've got a specific, probably quite gnarly and complex thing. And then what I'll do is I'll come in, help them really refine what is it that they're trying to do strategically, sensibly. What is the thing that you're trying to do? We'll then figure out the structure as to how to deliver that. So it's almost like project management, but for a business. We'll like look at where you're trying to get to. We'll then break it down into like, how do you get there? And then I will also build the systems, which could be the technical systems, or it could be the people that you need to build like the system of your business to be able to achieve that goal.
And so would you get involved in creating standard operating procedures and that side of thing?
Mm.
Yeah. So I always think when I was growing my dance business, I went really far down the road of franchising before deciding not to.
Yes.
And so we had standard operating procedures for absolutely everything. And there's a great book that I was told by my franchise advisor to read, which I did, called The E-Myth Revisited. I think we've discussed that book before, maybe. And it's basically about treating your business, whether you plan to franchise or not, like it needs to be deliverable at scale.
Yes.
And that's where I would love to get to with this business. Is that the kind of thing that you love to do?
Yeah. I actually heard someone say the other day, everyone will exit their business at some point. Whether you're planning an exit in the like headline sense of like, oh, I want to like do a tech 5 billion sellout or whatever. Whether you're running a one person and maybe you're going to quit a year from now. Either way, that's an exit. Like everyone will exit their business at some point. You won't be still doing this when you're 100. It's just about having the big picture in place. I wouldn't say like have all the detailed processes and have everything set up so that it can be an 100-person company one day, just in case. But you have to have an idea of where that big picture might be, because that really informs the conversations and the things that you're doing today.
Yeah, and the things that you prioritize.
Yeah, so that you prioritize correctly, so that you don't think, oh, I'm going to invest in this really big fancy system to solve this part of your business, if actually 5 years from now, you don't even want that to be a part of your business anymore.
Yeah, makes total sense. So before you had your own business, you've worked in some seriously big name environments like Chanel, IKEA, these kinds of places. What have you seen founders get wrong when they try and DIY the operational side of things compared to how these big businesses run?
Well, I think it's interesting you would ask that, because one thing I like to remind small business owners is that actually a lot of big businesses that you would think have it all together still have these hacky processes. A lot of businesses that I've worked with in the past still have like that hacky spreadsheet that only one person in one department in one city can actually access and use. Every business has these kind of messy parts. I think the one thing for me that's going to make anything successful, business, project, goal, whatever you're trying to achieve, is consistency. And it's the systems and structure, which is the sorts of things that I put in place that will help you get there. And that is what I see most often with any business, whether it's small or big. They're trying to do too much, which therefore means they cannot be consistent because they put too much on their plate. And then therefore they're inconsistent across 10 things. What I would always say is like, strip it back to like, two things, even one thing that you can consistently do that's your most important thing, and then focus on that. And then that might be a really slick process or a really slick system, because that's the thing that matters. And then it's okay if you have some messy things around it. But yeah, trying to do too much and then not being consistent is probably the most common issue that I see across business owners.
Yeah, I see that loads. And also in relation to marketing as well.
Yeah.
That's why I talk about having your non-negotiables. What are the simple, repeatable things that you're going to do every day or every week or every month to move your business forward using marketing? Okay, so you talk often about being a CEO or stepping into a CEO role. But I want to know, what does acting like a CEO mean to you?
I think the one thing, if I was to say one thing, is ownership of the business. So it's not, I've got this idea and I'm trying to make lots of sales. It's recognizing that it's a business that you're running, not just an idea that you're trying to make money from. And really kind of seeing it as like a multi-dimensional piece that's got lots of different things that you are overseeing. You're not actioning, you are overseeing them. I think it's that ownership and leadership from above. And when I speak about step into your CEO seat, that's what I'm really talking about. There's so many people who should be CEOs of their businesses that shouldn't be doing everything, that are still doing everything. Your business, it will just hit a ceiling. Ultimately, we all have the same hours in the day. So like, you will hit a capacity because there's only so much that you can do. So you have to start stepping back and letting other people run your business for you and seeing it, yeah, as a business rather than you. Whether it's you making products or you servicing other businesses. Yeah, it's about stepping back from that and overseeing it.
And do you think that is the main thing that holds people back in terms of growing their businesses? And I've done it myself, guilty as charged, at certain periods. It's wanting to just retain that full control.
I mean, I think it almost feels too simplistic to say yes. But if I think about a lot of my clients and people that I've just seen in business, trying to retain too much is, yeah, feeling that you have to do everything or that no one can do it better than you. It will keep your business small. I've seen it on lots of occasions.
And it's scary though, right?
But difficult. I'm in the situation right now, as you said, like I'm fully booked. So I know in myself, I should start considering, how do I bring other people into my business so that I'm not doing all of the execution? Because otherwise I'm at a cap right now. Like, my hours are maxed out and I can't do much more. But yeah, it's scary because even although I know if I was my client, I'd be saying, there are other people who can do this as well. It's not just you. Your head and your ego just think,
yeah,
but I'm the best and I'm charging people for this. And so I need to make sure it's the best. Otherwise, they're not going to stay with me. So yeah, I'm not saying any of this is easy. When we worked together earlier this year, it's really helpful to have that coach or that neutral kind of guide that helps you to step back and see your business as a business rather than see yourself as the kind of executor.
And often we think that we're the best. And actually,
I don't know what you're talking about. I am the best.
We go and find someone really good. I actually did this recently. You know, somebody I've been working with for ages, we're expanding the scope of her role. And I'm realizing we should have done it months ago because my clients are delighted with what she's doing. And I've just been holding on to it. But I know that people listening to this will also be thinking, oh, well, I'm not fully booked, perhaps yet. Or I'm starting to hit that ceiling, but I maybe haven't got the recurring revenue that I feel I need to be confident outsourcing things. And I know that if I just take this project on myself, I can keep 100% of the profit.
Yeah.
How do you help people through that scenario?
For myself, for my clients, that's finance management. And it will be very clear on, we map out cash flow, we map out a P&L, project it. Everything is much easier when you draw it out, whether that's like a spreadsheet with lots of numbers in it or a whiteboard with a picture on it or just a bunch of post-it notes. Everything is much easier when you can just visualize it and you can say, okay, well, if I want to bring someone in, I mean, this is what I'm doing for myself. I want to bring someone in. This is the sort of budget I think I'm going to need. And I'm mapping it out so that I know the sales that I need to hit to achieve that number. And then I can say to myself, yeah, that's achievable. I know I can do that. Or actually, that doesn't feel achievable. And then you can scale it back or you can make it more gradual. Just map things out. If you want to keep it all in your head, like it will never happen. But if you could map it out, it's much easier to make things tangible.
Yeah. And find someone who can help. Find someone whose brain works differently to yours.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a big part of your why, Lydia, is being present for your kids.
Yes.
Because we're actually in a network together. I'm going to speak on Monday at the Founder Mums event at time of recording. And you are a member and a local kind of rep, would you call yourself?
Yes. Yeah. A local lead.
A local lead. Okay. But I want to know, I'm going to use a word that I actually really dislike, which is mumpreneur. How do you feel about the mumpreneur space generally?
I think it can be a beautiful but conflicting space. There is a lot of honesty these days and validation and kind of acceptance that it's hard. But I think, and maybe it's just ourselves as mums or as women, there's still a lot of pressure. So you're right, I did one of the big reasons for me going out on my own, and a lot of women that I meet, the big reason for them going out on their own when they started their journey is because they had kids. And the traditional working world just isn't practical for having kids if you want to be there for them. So being present was one of my things. And over this year, I have been able to be present in some ways more than I would have been with my big fancy kind of London-based job. But in other ways, I've been so less present because you're always on. And so it's much harder to be like, oh, I've clocked off now. I'm with my kids, because you're still available. So yes, I would say in some ways I've succeeded in that. One of my goals was just to be able to take my daughter to swimming every Thursday at 4 p.m, which I wouldn't have been able to do with the job. Or, you know, my boss would have probably made it work, but it would have been awkward. It would have been awkward for me as well. So that's a success. But then, like, on the flip side, am I sometimes a bit shouty and grumpy because I'm thinking I need to get back to that email that I've got to send rather than deal with this third request for toast at 9 p.m. at night, which is sometimes my reality with a five-year-old who won't go to bed. I mean, it's just hard because you're just always juggling.
Yeah, I think that in order to succeed in business, you have to be a little bit obsessed by your business. Parenting is hard. Business is hard.
And like when you combine those two together,
it's a heady combination. Yeah. The mindset of always on, and my God, if something goes wrong and you miss your child's occasion and you don't have a job, the guilt is double because nobody made that happen but you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't change it. And I don't think you would either.
No, definitely not. It's just not all smiles and rainbows. Yeah, it's also, you know, I can do the things that I want to do. I can have Fridays off with my son. I can have swimming with Ada. That's the things that I wanted.
And these presumably are the things that you can help your clients map out along with the cash flow and the 10-year goals.
Yeah.
It's how do you want your life to look? And build your business accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of school of thought on this. It is so important to be aware of your big picture, personal and business, to be able to get to those things, whether it's financially or specific business goals or specifically like you want to go on some fancy holiday at some point, whatever. Like, you have to be aware of those things so you can reverse engineer. That's the only way this stuff happens. You have to be clear on it and then you have to be consistent to work towards it. It doesn't mean it will happen overnight, but it will happen, but you have to commit to it.
Yes, love that. Lydia, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you, to see you go from strength to strength, and to have you on the podcast, because I know you're a listener as well. So thank you so much for making time for this today. Before we finish up though, what have you got coming up that our listeners might be interested to hear about?
That's a good question. Just recently launched my first kind of freebie course, which is genuinely amazing. So if you've been listening earlier on to the podcast, the kind of weekly meeting that I have, how I map out my big kind of like big business goals, my annual goals, my quarterly goals, I've put that all into a free like 30-minute mini course, and then the template that you can get. So like I'm, as you said, getting pretty fully booked right now. But if you want access to some stuff which will just help you to get shit done, like that is where you should go. And I will also be at Launch Like a Pro in November, right?
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for teeing that up, Lydia.
Well, I feel like that is my main event. So.
I love it. Well, I was going to mention, because I wouldn't be a good marketer if I didn't, my event Launch Like a Pro, which is coming up on the 10th of November in London. And you will hear from Lisa Johnson, who Lydia mentioned earlier.
Cool.
And you'll also get everything you need to absolutely smash your next launch. So we're going to discuss your offer. So the what, we'll create your timeline, the when, we'll finesse your strategy, the how, and we'll assemble your launch team, the who. And that is why you need to be in the room on the day. So launching needs to be part of your marketing strategy in 2025, as does getting into rooms with people and maybe even having coffees, like Lydia mentioned before.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will put the link to your mini course and to the event in the show notes. And thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Honestly, I am honored and I love working with you and looking forward to continue working with you.
Amazing. So I'll be back again next week on Friday at 7 a.m. with more actionable marketing tips and advice. And remember, launching is changing all the time. So you've got to get yourself in the room and assemble your launch team of people who can help you, because it's not a solo sport. So come along and join Lydia and me at Launch Like a Pro Live. And until then, take care and keep marketing.